This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the right developing teeth. We're going to discuss Peters in Michigan. Latin American Migration Summit is off. All that and so much more coming up in this final hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Oh, and don't forget tomorrow. Tomorrow's spicy day. Tomorrow is Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard, their confirmation hearings. By the grace of God, we're almost done with these things because it gets old watching Democrats make embarrassing spectacles of themselves. But once we cross those hurdles, we should be through with all this and we get to sit back and enjoy ourselves. Now, I have to do something a little bit heavy at the beginning of this hour. Lake and Riley, you know the story of Lake and Riley by now. She's that wonderful, beautiful looking college girl in Georgia who was hunted down and beaten to death by that illegal that Joe Biden led into the country on purpose. And by all accounts of her friends and family, she was just a wonderful human being, an absolutely wonderful human being. Christian girl, from what I understand. Called her mom all the time. Just sounds like one of those girls you'd want your son to marry. Not your daughter, but one of those girls you'd want your son to marry. I guess it could be your daughter, depending on whether or not you play softball. But you understand what I mean. Sounds like a wonderful person. And today, President Trump signed this Lake and Riley Act into law. And I'm good for him and good for the House, good for the Senate. I'm glad everybody passed it. All that stuff was good. But I want you to listen to this because Lake and Riley's mom, I'm not going to interrupt it. She got up today to speak and I want you to hear her because she deserves to be heard. That's one. And two, I want you to hang on to this and I want you to remember the fact that Democrats brought this young lady's killer into the country on purpose. They flew him around the country on your dime, on purpose. Democrats brought Lake and Riley's killer into the country on purpose. Do not ever forget that. Do not ever forgive that. Even if you're one of the Democrats who hate listens to the show, don't ever even consider voting for a Democrat again until that anti-American party of filth radically changes its views on illegal immigration, because Lake and Riley was killed by someone Democrats brought into the country on purpose. Listen to this heartbreak, and as you listen, know Democrats did this on purpose.
Our family will forever be grateful for the prayers of the people across our nation and for helping to get this legislation into law. We also want to thank President Trump for the promises he made to us. He said he would secure our borders and that he would never forget about Lakin. And he hasn't. He's a man of his word. We trust that he will fight for the American people. Most importantly, I want to thank our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because without his sacrifices, Lakin's story would have ended on that horrific day that she was taken from us. But because of him, we can continue living knowing that we will see Lakin again. There's no amount of change that will ever bring back our precious Lakin. Our hope moving forward is that her life saves lives. We're so thankful that her passion for helping others and her legacy for doing good in the name of Jesus Christ will carry on. Thank you.
Tell me that doesn't gut you. Family sent their beautiful young lady that they obviously were very purposeful about raising, sent their beautiful young lady off to college, as so many parents have. Maybe you have. Maybe your baby girl is off at college. They sent her off to, I mean, what you would think would be relatively a safe place. She wasn't doing, you know, peace work in Yemen. They sent her off to an American university. And little did they know, Democrats had brought in a rapist and a murderer, and he killed her. That's heartbreak right there. Can you even imagine the loss, the horror of that? Don't ever forget. And until forgiveness is asked for, do not forgive it. Remember it. Even as we look around and we celebrate now deportations and all this stuff and it's all going well, remember what Democrats did to this country on purpose, not on accident. It wasn't a whoopsie. Well, their hearts were in the right place. No, they did all this on purpose, opened up the border, and brought in as many monsters as they could possibly hoover up in 4 years. Freaking demonic, man. Jesse, I live in Canada, and I agree with Trump. My country's lax on border security, lets in hundreds of thousands a year from third world countries. Trump should impose tariffs on Canada and make us implement things. He said otherwise Canada's a security risk. Look, we in America, we go through something when it comes to Mexico and to a lesser extent Canada, but Canada's involved in this. We go through something that has plagued is probably not the right word, but that has been a point of concern for major nations throughout the history of the world. How do you deal with it when you are wealthier, more advanced, and more civilized? How do you deal with a country on your borders that is not? Because inevitably, a country on your borders that is less civilized, again, this applies more to Mexico than you, but than Canada, but a country that is less civilized on your borders will eventually bleed some of that over into you. And they will end up draining some of what you have. It's inevitable. When you don't have an equal partner, if you will, well, how do you deal with that? And when it comes to a country like Canada, we'll focus on them because you're bringing it up. This is part of Trump's concern with Canada, and it's a very, very valid concern. It's not just about trade. You elect some dirtball commie like Trudeau. You have this dirtball commie government up there. The good people of Canada are freaking suffering the same way we were suffering. But you elect this dirtball, and he did what all Western communists do, and that's he threw open the borders of his country and allowed in every barbarian he could. Well, the problem is the barbarians don't just stay up there. About the time November hits and the temperature hits zero, they're moving on down south, walking right across our border. How are we supposed to handle that if our neighbor that we share a large border with allows barbarians into their country and they end up here? We have to deal with that problem. In fact, we have to demand, in the same way we're doing with Mexico right now, we have to demand that they deal with that problem. Look, it's my neighbor who doesn't mow his grass. It doesn't become my problem until it becomes my problem. Okay, you let your grass get to be a foot. I'm not even making that up. Remember, a foot deep. You let your grass get turned into a jungle. Okay, I don't love it. No big deal. Not the end of the world. Until the time comes, I have to put my home on the market, and I'm trying to sell, you know, the beauty and safety of the neighborhood. And there's my neighbor with triple canopy jungle in his front yard. Now you're hurting my bottom line, and now we're going to have a conversation about it. If Mexico refuses to stop or slow down the illegal immigration that comes up into their country through Central and South America, then we have to challenge Mexico to do so. And the exact same thing applies with Canada. They've had this nutball commie government up there that was more than happy to arrest people over COVID, but while also importing barbarians from all over the world. And of course, they're not going to complain if they let in the barbarians and then that barbarian in Canada decides, you know what? I think I'd like a good bagel from New York City. I'm going to move on down south. Well, if they won't do anything about that, well, now their problem has become our problem. And this is what we're going to have to deal with, untying these knots. How do we untie these knots? Okay, so we need to discuss something that's happening in Michigan right now. Because we have Pete and we have Peters. And both of them, in a roundabout way, are going to be stiff competition for us. I will explain what's going on in just a moment. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, a hump day, a beautiful hump day where we got done with RFK today. Cash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard are coming tomorrow, but we need to go to Michigan for a couple minutes because, well, let's talk about Mayor Pete. The old Rear Admiral Pete Buttigieg. You didn't think he was gone, did you?
Why are you gay?
You see, he left Transportation Secretary, but we all know that Pete is a ladder climber. Or, you know, a pole climber would probably be more appropriate. Pete has already relocated to Michigan. Why would he relocate to Michigan? Because Michigan had a senator named Peters. Gary Peters is his name. And Pete Buttigieg, I believe, is about to be in the United States Senate unless the Michigan voting populace changes its ways. And you can tell this because Pete Buttigieg is already wrapping his arms around Peters. As we watch the Rear Admiral embrace Peters, just like we knew he would, well, I think you know where this goes from here. Pete loves Peters, and you see where that's going. Hey, Jesse, I feel Democrats enabled Hamas's war on the Jews through the elimination of Iran's sanctions. The first thing I thought about this $50 million is another funding of the same ideology in the guise of medical aid. What are your thoughts? I watch you on Pluto TV. It's the best. Did you know 60 Minutes advertises during your commercials and on all the other non-legacy outlets on Pluto? I think you could manage who you allow to advertise on your commercials. Thanks for fighting insanity. Okay, well, first of all, remember this. When it comes to commercials, I do not own these airwaves. Premier owns these airwaves. They graciously allow me to use them for 3 hours a day. What I control is whatever I talk about. If you hear an advertisement of some kind and it is my voice, that is me backing it. But I don't actually own all of the advertising. It all belongs to them. What I'm not reading, they have complete control over. And the same thing applies to TV when I'm on TV. So, no, I don't control it. And no, I don't care about the complaints about it because I don't control it. None of it's in my hands. That's one. Two, look, we brought up this story yesterday about $50 million in contraceptives for Gaza. But this is really how government corruption works, you see. We were making jokes about it. Why in the world would they need $50 million in rubbers in Gaza? And but that's how government corruption works. And here's an example. Let's say there's a gigantic omnibus bill. The House loves these omnibus bills. There's another one coming, I should note, but the House loves these omnibus bills. And in this omnibus bill, omnibus just means not a single subject bill, a bill encompassing a bunch of different subjects. So basically the worst, most corrupt kind of bill. What happens is you will go around, and depending on the level of influence of the individual member of the House or Senate, that person will get some say in what goes in the bill, if you will. So maybe you are Congressman Chris. We'll just say your name is Congressman Chris, and you love Hamas. You're a huge Hamas fan, but more than that, you like money. I think we could all agree that would be something likely, right? You're a big fan of money. And let's say you want to make sure some of that money makes its way back into your hands. Well, here's an example of how you might do that. They come to you and they say, hey, Congressman Chris, we got this huge omnibus bill coming. Is there anything you want in there? We know we can count on your vote, or can we count on your vote? And you would say, yes, actually, you can count on my vote, but I want to make sure we have $50 million in there that goes to a specific area so I can make sure Hamas is taken care of, Palestine is taken care of. And they say, oh, yeah, we'll get that in there. We'll get that in there with the language you want. But if you follow down that road far enough, what you'll find almost every single time is in a roundabout or sometimes more direct way, Congressman Chris will benefit financially from the $50 million he had them put in the bill. Maybe his sister works for the nonprofit who will receive the bulk of those funds. Maybe his cousin's brother's uncle works for the contraceptive company that has been partnering with the federal government. Either way, in the end, federal corruption works in much the same way the Biden family showed you how it works. Because Chris, Congressman Chris, has to disclose all of his financial information, you're generally, and the exception with Bob Menendez being the exception, you're not going to find Congressman Chris getting suitcases full of money and trunks full of gold bars. In general, how it works is exactly how the Bidens did it. Your brother's uncle's cousin's sister starts this nonprofit, this business. You, as the congressman, happen to grab so much money, make sure it gets in there. You vote yes, and your family members and friends magically end up benefiting from the thing you threw in the bill. When this is done at a local level, it's much more ham-fisted. So we look at local politics and we say, look at that corruption. And yes, the corruption locally is terrible, but it works the same way federally. They just find more creative ways to dance around the law. Were they actually spending $50 million on contraceptives? No. That money was going into somebody in America's pocket. Bank on that. Now, I want to talk about something. T-levels. You know how I told you I had that doctor's appointment on Monday? I did. You know, I told you I was waiting on the final results for the old blood work? Heard back from the doc today. Cholesterol is slightly high. Nothing to be concerned about. No, I don't have to take medication or anything like that. He said, maybe just watch your diet a little bit more. Guess what else was high? My testosterone levels. He actually asked me, he said, are you getting, injections or something like that? And I said, nope. Natural herbal supplements for me, doc. I take a male vitality stack every single day. I'm 43 years old and my doc is questioning if my T levels are too high. Do you want to feel like that? It's a good feeling, I'll tell you that much. Your chest puffs out a little when your doc asks you that question. Chalk did it. I take a male vitality stack from Chalk and that's what did it. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you a huge discount on subscriptions for life. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. No, we should not have played that for Pete Buttigieg, Chris. What is your problem? That is so insensitive. I don't know what your problem is. You know what?
I love you back.
What? Chris, I'm sorry. We're going to have to replace these dome ones soon, and I'm going to miss them, okay? I'm going to miss them. Jesse, my wife and I watch you most every day on the first. It's delayed a day, but that's when we were introduced to you. You're great. Like your analysis of the day. My wife wonders if Chris really exists. Anyway, thanks for your insight. You were right on the money. I was right on the money. I really, really have been impressed by me lately. Jesse, I just turned on your show fairly recently. I find myself thinking about the things you said after the radio goes off. I only did that with one other talk show host, Rush Limbaugh. I've finally found another show that keeps me thinking. I listen to his show daily for 30 years. Thanks for giving me things to ponder. Hey, Chris. Do I make you think about things? I do, don't I? Look, Chris, it's okay to admit that you work with greatness. All right, what? What are you rolling your eyes for? What, do I make you think about things? What, Chris? I didn't say just menus, Chris. You know what? Forget Chris. Jesse, my adopted children are biologically born to a woman that is a Caucasian American citizen and a Mexican migrant worker who was subsequently deported. I'm sorry. My husband and I adopted them, and they are, of course, U.S. citizens. My kids heard the news and immediately expressed fears of deportation. I assured them they're legal citizens, and by the law, their parents are both citizens. I'm sure this order has caused unnecessary fear in many children in such circumstances. I just listened to your show, and there's no explanation of how this would play out for the children. I hope you're able to make time to clarify what this means to all children living in our country that have already been citizens. Well, see, here's how this works. I am not responsible for children believing dumb things. You are the one responsible for that. Meaning, your kids are yours, and they're American citizens. They have nothing to fear whatsoever, and if they are afraid, then they're being fed lies by maybe their friends or their teachers, or maybe they're watching the wrong stuff on the news. Maybe they're getting it from social media. But if I was to spend 3 hours a day shooting down the dumb lies everyone believes, that's all the show would be. American citizens are safe of every age. They're protected. You're not going anywhere. And anyone who believes otherwise has been misinformed. But this is an opportunity for you to talk to your kids about that. You should be. This is what happens. And I understand it because I'm not trying to be mean, but I used to abstain from talking politics with my kids. You know that? Longtime listeners will know that because I've talked about it before. I started working in politics like 6-7 years ago. And I've been political. You know, I really care about it, care about power, I care about that stuff. But when the boys were little, Ab and I really didn't bring it up, and I didn't want to bring it up. Even when I started working in radio and TV, I had the mindset of, let's just let them be kids. Let's just let them be kids. You cannot do that anymore. That was a mistake. I wished I had never done it at all. Now, it turned out fine. The boys are the boys are fine now, let me tell you what. But if you abstain from talking to your kids about the news, it doesn't even have to be politics. I'm not saying you have to sit and tell them, vote for Trump. But if you won't discuss those things with your children, I promise you the communists will. They will. Communists view your children as belonging to them. Communists view your children as something that needs to be broken away from you. And they will find every single opportunity they can to break your children away from you and bring them into their arms. If you have not been proactive with your kids about what is in the news, about what is happening, then your children are susceptible to believe the most disgusting lies out there. You must talk to your children about power, politics, news of the day, local, international. Teach your children how to think about these things. Otherwise, if you're just trying to exist outside of the political realm with your children, well, the communist is just going to grab them, and your children will believe the most ridiculous lies in the history of mankind. That we have American kids worried they're going to get deported because their biological dad happened to be Mexican is a failure of you. Fix that failure. What, Chris? What? I was being nice. What? I'm not too blunt. Whatever. Jesse, my husband Daniel told me about your podcast episodes where you call your wife princess when she gets mad, and you just love the reaction you get, the eye rolls and all. And now he won't stop calling me princess when I'm mad. In our 5.5 years of marriage, he's always more enthusiastic when I'm not happy. I don't know if it's a guy thing. And now he got a new nickname for me. Please make him stop. I will not make him stop. And you know what's funny about, I don't know why I get such enjoyment out of getting a rise out of Ob, but I've done it for so long. And then when I say princess, or when I walk up to her and I have my hand out like I'm getting ready to pet her or rub her back, that only makes her angry. She says, don't touch me. I'm not a dog. And the madder she gets, the boys start snickering now the boys will do it to her too. And it is pants wetting funny watching the boys intentionally get a rise out of her. And the reason it's so funny is she's just such a sweetheart with the boys. And she, like any mother, I mean, it's a mother thing. We don't want our mothers any other way. In some ways, she still looks at her boys, even though they're 14 and 16 and they both tower over her. She still looks at them like little boys. Or in the, you know, there's that part of a mom, you always want that. You always want to be able to care for them, but they're growing up. It's so funny watching, because I can see it clear as day. They're intentionally trying to get a rise out of her, and I can see it. But she can't see it right away until they do it. And then watching her snap on them makes me laugh so freaking hard. And then I get yelled at, you shouldn't be laughing about this. And we're all laughing. Everyone's really laughing, but off. I really can't describe it exactly why that comes to me. Also, I love this. Good job, Trump.
As federal employees, they must meet a high standard. They're representing our government. They're representing our country. If they don't agree by February 6th to show up back to work in their office, they will be terminated, and we will therefore be downscaling our government, which is something that the last 10 presidents have tried very hard to do but failed.
Let me ask you something. What if Trump turns out to be the first president of my lifetime who actually shrinks the size of the federal government? Have you thought about that? Because Trump is a lot of things, but I don't know that there's anybody who would necessarily call him a small government Republican. Trump himself would not call him. I've never heard him say that about himself. I want the government small or anything like that. Now, I would say that about me. I want the government so small it basically ceases to exist. But you wouldn't necessarily say that about Trump. What do we do if he's the first one to shrink it? It would be amazing. Anyway, let's talk about this Latin American summit. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. But of course, we will be back tomorrow to have another good time and then another good time. And Lord willing, fingers crossed, very, very shortly, we will have RFK and HHS. We'll have Cash Patel in there. We'll have Pam Bondi in there someday, and Tulsi Gabbard in there. I am still concerned, very concerned. I'm of two minds about whether or not these people are going to get confirmed. I know they want them stopped. I'm talking about the GOP Senate. They wanted Pete Hegseth stopped. they felt too much pressure to stop him. They definitely want RFK Jr. stopped. Don't think for a second Elizabeth Warren is the only one taking in large quantities of big pharma money.
I'll comply with all the ethical guidelines.
That's not the question. You and I, you have said repeatedly.
You're asking me, Senator, you're asking me not to sue vaccine pharmaceutical companies.
No, I am not.
Yeah, you are. That's exactly what you're doing.
But we have to our advantage the fear we can put into these people. Joni Ernst ran her mouth for one day and then shut it, never opened it again, and voted yes on Pete Hegseth. She did that out of fear. She did that because for 24, 48 hours, her office was flooded. Phone calls, texts, emails with threats about removing her from the United States Senate. Joni Ernst and her people were petrified at the end of that public rage campaign. She shut her mouth, voted yes on Pete, and moved along. Oh, they want to stop RFK, maybe even worse than they want to stop Pete. They want to stop Tulsi for sure. Lindsey Graham even does. The question is, does Lindsey Graham, does he have the guts to buck Trump publicly? Imagine if Pete, or forget about Pete, imagine if Lindsey goes out there and votes against Donald Trump's DNI pick. Imagine if he goes out and votes against Tulsi Gabbard. The wrath that will come down. I don't know. Look, I know this. Nicole Shanahan, you remember her. She was RFK Jr.'s running mate. I met her. Really, really sweet lady. I met her at that Tucker Carlson event. She was so sweet. Just a really nice human being, unlike me. But, man, she sounds like she's dead serious about this.
I will make it my personal mission that you lose your seats in the Senate if you vote against the future health of America's children. And more than that, I also want to say to Senators Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, Bill Cassidy, Tom Tillis, James Lankford, Cory Booker, John Fetterman, Bernie Sanders, and Catherine Cortez Masto, this is a bipartisan message, and it comes directly from me. While Bobby may be willing to play nice, I won't. If you vote against him, I will personally fund challengers to primary you in your next election, and I will enlist hundreds of thousands to join me. Big Pharma and Big Ag have exploited us for far too long. It ends now. You're either on the side of transparency and accountability, or you are standing in the way. The choice is yours. Please choose wisely.
Doesn't hurt to have a billionaire fighting on your behalf. Also, remember this.
¿Qué mensaje le das al país ahora que estás acá?
Que no se vayan. No se vayan porque los están deportando a todos. No, o sea, no los van a soltar al siguiente día, sino...
Maybe you're unclear on what's being said there. So allow me to translate for you. You don't have to live with daily pain, is what I think she's saying. You should find a solution for that pain. And that solution is relief factor. You can almost hear it in her voice. Listen to the relief she has at finding relief factor.
¿Qué mensaje le das al país ahora que estás acá?
Que no se vayan. No se vayan porque los están deportando a todos. No, o sea, no los van a soltar al siguiente día, sino...
I can't be 100% sure, but I think she's talking about finding a 100% drug-free solution to her pain. Relief Factor is a supplement you take every single day. Stop masking the pain. Stop ignoring it. Start taking Relief Factor. 3 weeks. In 3 weeks, that pain could be gone from your life. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. Listen to the results.
¿Qué mensaje le das al país ahora que estás acá?
Que no se vayan. No se vayan porque los están deportando a todos. No, o sea, no los van a soltar al siguiente día, sino...
You heard it here first. 1-800-4-RELIEF. Dear Jesse, how can we fight an enemy that's so good at pretending to be friendly? Always giving away gifts is helpful and seems honorable. This attracts supporting fans to become loyal to them. Okay, so this is about the Democrat Party. Listen, how can we ever begin to fight back? How can we... You know how we talked the other day about the Democrat Party being at a historic low popularity-wise? Well, numbers came out today, they've gone down further. 31% approval nationally. Republicans have a double-digit lead nationally for party approval. Now, this is about not about Democrats and Republicans. What's happening right now is a complete rejection of the cultural Marxism Democrats have brought into this country. It's not total. It's not like we can sit back and just relax now. But you should feel good about where we are right now. The bad guys are afraid. They are afraid. They are unsure. They don't know which way to go, which way to turn, which reforms to make. In many ways, Democrats are prisoners of their own insane base because, yeah, they know, well, okay, I should probably moderate on that and I should probably moderate on that. But if I do, these people are going to scream at me. And if I do, these people will stop donating to me. Now, this is not a permanent state of affairs. We haven't won the final battle. Total victory is not ours. But you shouldn't be looking out right now as if we are still down, as if we are still in hiding, as if we are still under assault from every single part of our culture. Yes, we have been. Yes, we have been surrounded and attacked and all these things. However, that is not where we are right now, and you should allow yourself to feel good about that.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Latin American Migration Summit is off as the leaders tread carefully with Trump. It's so hilarious to me how now world leaders are finally afraid of us again, as they should be. That's one, two. I want to go to a summit. I've never been to a summit. Well, don't roll your eyes, Chris. I've never been invited to a summit. I bet I would kill it at a summit. Louisville Nature Center will let you name a roach after your ex for Valentine's Day. That seems a little bit petty to name a roach after your ex for Valentine's Day, but, you know, I should do that to Amber. USDA Inspector General escorted out of the office after refusing to leave despite being dismissed by the Trump administration. Her name is Phyllis Fong. Then Phyllis Fong got showed the door. No, Chris, I'm not going to make any jokes about that whatsoever. That would be immature. I love that some of these street animals who've risen to positions of power still think they can act like animals. And now they're finding out this is a whole different administration than the last one. Now, I will see you tomorrow. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.